I think one mistake real estate agents do is...
So the big question is, what are top agents doing to absolutely crush it in real estate, grow their teams and add more transactions year over year while so many struggle? To get the answers, we interview top real estate agents to learn their secrets to success. Listen, we believe every agent should make a minimum of $100,000 per year, and we're on a mission to make this happen. We've already helped over 100 agents achieve this with our coaching. So if you want to fast track your business growth, get to your first $100,000 in GCI or add another $100,000 in GCI using social strategies, then head over to go.eliteagentsecrets.com, or you can just click the link in the description below. Also, just make sure to follow us, hit that subscribe button, and if you get any value from this at all, please tell a friend and leave us a review. My name is Andrew Dunn.
And my name is Peter Michael. Welcome to Elite Agent Secrets.
Now you've handed out your 10 business cards and you've made your 25 calls. The third and final topic of yours is actually about getting all this business in. Now you've got to build a team to handle all this fucking business. Now, this is one of the biggest topics on our show. We cover this a lot. It's always interesting to get a different perspective, purely because, especially in the real estate game, what you find is you get mega producers who are insanely good at sales. They do it, and then as soon as they try to grow a team, everything goes to shit, and they say, right, and all that. So you've obviously, with what you're doing in sales and your property management, 900 units is like blowing my mind. Like, I can't even conceptualize it. I'm so far away, you know, but you've obviously had to build a very robust team. So I'd love for you to unpack building a team and like culture and systems and processes that have allowed you to scale. And by the sounds of this conversation so far, you're going to keep scaling. So, you know, I'd love to get some foresight into the future on scaling too, on the team side.
Sure. Sure. Scaling, and I like that word, because scaling is still something that I'm working on, right? So I won't even say, you know, most people would probably say I've scaled pretty well compared to most people, right? But there's a lot of people way ahead of me. So scaling, and I'm listening to audiobooks on scaling. So scaling is it's tough, right? So I think one mistake real estate agents do is they start building a team too quickly, right? So if you're not doing a ton of sales, you should. What are you getting a team for? You know, if you're not, I had some agent reached out to me, and I think he was saying, you know, he did 10 deals a year, and he was looking for a TC, which is transaction coordinator. And I said, man, what do you need a transaction coordinator for? You're not even doing a deal a month. You know, so I think you got to start seeing, you start building a team when you think you might be losing business because you don't have a team, right? And there's always I think the toughest part too, especially for me when I've been scaling, is how do you scale without losing quality, right? You know, I'm the professional. People are coming for Wasim, right? They're not coming for one of my team members, right? So I have to build a team that can produce the way I produce, right? And not hurt my reputation, hurt my name, okay? So what I do is I have different aspects of my business, right? And once I feel like, hey, I'm losing business because I'm too busy, which one of my aspects or my categories of my business can I hand off to somebody and teach somebody? And then how I do it in my office, and everybody does it different, but I start with one person, they shadow me, right? And they just stick next to me, and almost sometimes they're saying stuff they don't even need to do until I feel comfortable that they're doing things as good and sometimes even better than I'm doing, right? Because they might just be focused on that one thing and I'm focused on different things, then I hand it off to them. So if you want a specific example, it can be writing contracts, right? So I'm managing 900 units. Now we're closer to 1,000, but so I'm managing almost 1,000 units, right? I have 1,000 contracts I have to do every year, right, for new tenants. So, you know, I'll teach that to an assistant and review those contracts until I know that she can do it perfectly. Then that's one assistant that I have, right? You know, and then it's different parts. So somebody might do follow-ups, right? Like following up on cold leads. a mistake that agents might make is, oh, I haven't heard from this lead in a while, or they're not very responsive. Let me stop following up with them. No, I don't. I have an assistant now follow up with them. So I think it's once you start expanding, figuring out what people to put in what category, and so that your business can keep growing, right? You can only go so far with one person. And it's tough. And this today, especially with labor shortages, it's tough to find people, right? So, and you can train somebody for a while and then they leave you, right?
One of the things that I'm thinking about, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this, is when you're hiring with your strategy, which is kind of like wait until it really hurts rather than kind of planning ahead, so to speak.
Right.
My question is, because I'm wondering if you do this, is because you now have more money because you've done it all yourself, do you go out and actually pay for like real talent, pay for experience? Because a lot of people will hire ahead, but they'll hire, I don't want to use the word cheap because it's wrong, but they'll hire less expensive and with no experience or limited to train them to what they want. Other people will go, I'll wait until it hurts. This is such so arbitrary, but rather than paying 50K, they'll pay 100K. But that person comes in on the boots or on the ground, they're running off. They know exactly how to do everything from day one. And the training time is just on you personally, which is something very quick. But with regards process and I know what they've actually got to do from a day to day, they are shit hot on. They know how to do it. And you're willing to pay for that experience to come in.
Right. I mean, a lot of that's going to be focused too on your income, right? Yeah. So can you afford to pay somebody that much, right? How much of your salary are you giving up to pay for somebody more experienced? And that's a good way that you put it. And, doing it until it hurts, because I'm not saying that's the right way. Yeah. That's just the way that I've done it, right? And I think a lot of the reason I've done it that way is because I grew faster than I expected. I don't think it was ever my intention to, hey, let me wait till it really hurts and then I'll do it. It's just, it started hurting. So we have to grow, right? And sometimes you hire and you think, man, I'll be good for a while. And then boom, it just, the business comes, right? So I guess if your question is which way is better to do it, I think it's specific on that person and what their income is like, and hiring somebody experienced. I don't think it's easy to find somebody that's very experienced, right? I think that's tough to do, right? And another thing is, if you're paying some, you have to be careful with your money and how you spend it also when you grow, right? Yeah. Because if you consider somebody's salary compared to how much money that you're bringing in, is it helping you bring in more business, or is it just covering their salary? Does that make sense? Like if I'm paying somebody $100,000, I should be making $300,000.
Yeah.
Right.
At least.
If I'm paying somebody at least.
Probably more like $500.
I think most people would. I think that's what probably people hope for, but it's probably more like $300, right? So I've got to see that return. Yeah. Right. And that's why you have to be really good at managing your money and strategic. Are you paying somebody $100 and only getting $100 for it? Are you paying somebody $100 and not even getting that $100 back? Right. I haven't been lucky like that I pay my people pretty well, but, also too, you have to see what kind of experience do they have. Are they doing things the way that you want them done? Or are they doing them the way somebody else taught them to do it that maybe you don't like how that's done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, there's two thoughts with me. I've always brought in inexperienced people and
trained them.
They're reflections of me, right? They do things the way that I do.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's surprising, I guess, when you say you do it when it hurts and that's the methodology, because it's like they've still got that ramp up time. But a lot of people, like I've done a lot in the sales world, and the problem is with just sales in general, there is many different ways that are taught. And a lot of the big fish out there, companies would rather have people who are interested, maybe done a very minor amount, like a year maybe, but can bring them in and train them their way. And they just haven't been kind of shown the wrong path in their, do you know what I mean? They can't nurture them in the way they want to, where they can follow that system. Right. But this is, yeah.
But different ways work for different 100%. People, right? So that's why I'm not big on a model of, you know, if we're going just talking about specifically about real estate sales, because I am one of the top 100 sales agents, at least last in 2021. How you sell something is not how I sell, right? Your personality is not like my personality, right? So I can't go, some agents will say, oh, I'll just watch this guy and he sold 50 million last year. Let me just join his group and then I'll learn how to be like him. You can't be like him, right? Because you don't have the same background as him. You don't talk how he or she talks. Let's use both. You don't talk like them. You don't engage with people like them. You might not like people, the same people that they would like. So you can't imitate another agent, I don't think.
You got to bring your own flag. Really, you know? You have to bring your own flag.
Right. So how I do things with sales is I do more the old school way, right? So I do have a marketing team and we do some social media stuff and we do some Facebook, but I really get most of my business from referrals. So and that's why I say I'm in the people business, right? I don't get, I would say maybe 50% of my business is from referrals, right? I'm not spending a lot of money on marketing compared to what I bring in volume. I probably spend one of the least in the industry on marketing.
Right? Yeah.
Cause that doesn't work for me.
So before we wrap up here, we've got a segment and it's three quick fire questions. So give us the off the cuff.
Sure.
Oh, here we go. All right. First question.
Okay.
Favorite book or person you're learning from right now?
Oh man. Favorite book. You know what? I listen to a lot of books. Right now, I don't know about a favorite. You know what? I do like that book a lot, even though it has nothing to do with real estate. I think it's called Shoe Dog.
Okay.
Is it with the Nike book? That's a pretty good book.
All right.
It's engaging.
Second.
I'm reading a book right now about multi-units, the multi-unit millionaire.
That's two. For our listeners. So,
real estate agents really need to listen to real estate books. Don't just listen to other books. You still got to listen to real estate books. Those might not be the most fun, but you got to listen to them.
Second question. What is your goal for the next 12 months?
You know what, man, I'm going to take this a little bit different direction. This year, we're going to keep doing good in real estate. I'm not worried about that. I feel like I've got a good system, but I've got kids, little boys. So this 2022, I want to focus on that.
Love it. No, that's great.
A little bit more.
So you try to do it.
A little bit more on that. I was telling one guy, I said, you know, find me a rich guy that has shitty kids and he's a failure. Right. So
okay.
This year I want to focus a little bit more on the boys.
So the third one then is, what's the biggest obstacle you think that's going to stop you achieving that?
Oh, my goals? No, nothing's going to stop me from achieving that.
So before we wrap up, I want to give you the floor. So if people want to reach out, buying or selling, or after property management, how could they reach out to you and your group, whether it's phone, emails, website, social media, let the people know how they can reach out.
Yeah, go to my website and all the other contact information's on there. It's farenishlv.com. That's FARANESHLV, like Las Vegas.com.
Perfect. We're seeing this has been an absolute pleasure, everyone. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we have interviewing him, and we will see you in the next one. Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in gaining access to our course and coaching programs 100% for free, then head over to go.eliteagentsecrets.com.